The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
I was thinking about what to preach this morning. I had some things really heavy on my heart earlier this week. And I was thinking, if somebody were to ask me, maybe somebody approached me and said, I don't know anything about the Bible, but I'm ready to start learning about the Bible. And I'm going to sit down and I'm going to begin to read through it. I'm going to begin to study it. And if they were to ask me, can you give me just real quickly one piece of advice as I study this Bible that will help me understand it better? There's probably many things that I would want to tell them, but probably one of the number one things that I would tell them is you need to be able to distinguish between what the Bible talks about, things that affect us in this life, and things that have eternal ramifications. And sometimes we say in the Primitive Baptist Church, we're talking about things that are timely. Yeah. And what we mean by that is things that affect us here and now. Right. You know, Brother Tim's got a sore throat. That's not going to affect him in eternity. Right. Right? That affects him right now. But there are things that the Bible talks about that speak about eternal things. So being able to differentiate between, is this talking about the here and now, or is this talking about the eternity that is to come? Being able to distinguish between those two can save you a lot of confusion as you read through the Bible. It's as important as being able to distinguish now between the imagination and reality.
Right.
All right? We've all had those weird and crazy dreams where you wake up and you have you try to make sense of it. And you go to somebody and you say, let me tell you about this dream I had. You know, and you go into this long story about things that make no sense whatsoever. I think about Hank and I will go out into the woods sometimes and we'll pretend that the trees are monsters and we're fighting monsters and we're throwing sticks at them and we're shooting bows and arrows at them. That's make-believe. But if we can't distinguish that that's make-believe and this is reality, you'd say, well, hey, there's monsters in the woods and we can't go out in the woods. You're going to be very confused. If you can't determine, hey, that's just a dream, that really doesn't affect us at all, it's just a dream, you're going to be very confused. So in the Bible, there are things that affect us in this life, and there are things that affect us in eternity. Let me give you just a few examples. You know that the Bible says, the Lord says, that I will not leave you nor forsake you. You've heard that? You ever heard somebody quote that?
Yeah.
You ever heard them quote the one where he says, I will utterly forsake you? You ever heard that one? It's in there. So the Lord says, I will utterly forsake you. But yet he says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now, how do you make those reconcile with one another?
Right.
Easy. One of them's talking about here and now.
Right.
One of them's talking about heaven.
Amen.
What about when the Bible says that there's nothing that we do that saves us in eternity? There's no works of righteousness that we can do that can save us in eternity. But yet Paul says that you can be saved if you remember what I preached to you.
Right.
So on one hand, we don't do anything to be saved. On the other hand, you've got to remember what's been preached to you.
Right.
If that's talking about eternity, we're all doomed. Because I guarantee you, come about Tuesday morning, I can ask you what was preached on last Sunday, and you'll be like, I can't remember. Well, guess what? Your salvation is not hanging on that in eternity.
Amen.
Okay, now, forgiveness. The Bible tells us that he purged our sins and he forgave us by himself. That means he didn't need anything. He didn't need our cooperation, our permission, or our consent to forgive us of our sins. Yet over here he tells us, if you don't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, which one is it?
Right.
The difference is this. He's talking about eternity at times, and he's talking about the here and now at times.
Amen.
Okay, you got to be able to make that distinguishment right there, or you're going to be very confused. Now, the one I want to talk to you about this morning is preservation. I want to talk to you about being preserved, because the Bible tells us in Psalms 94, it says, for the Lord will not cast off his people.
Amen.
The Lord will not cast off his people. It says, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But Jesus says this in Luke, the 9th chapter. He says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away? Jesus says, what good is it for you to gain the whole world and be cast away? And over here, Jesus says, I will not cast away my people. So which one is it? Now, in preservation, I want to try to show you this morning that there is a preservation in eternity that cannot be touched. And I'm going to try to prove that to you this morning. But there is a preservation, and by preservation, I mean a keeping, a holding, a guarding, a keeping safe in this life of your health and well-being and your physical life that can be cast away. And I want to try to show you that this morning. And Jesus says, let me read this to you again. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Why in the world, Luke, would you want to preach about eternal preservation and timely preservation? Because you may find yourself, or you may have a loved one day that is feeding the swine and desiring the very food they eat and thinking to themselves, what have I done? And you may find somebody you love, or you may find yourself having strayed far, far, far away from the Lord. And you may have questions in your mind, am I still one of His?
Yeah.
All right, that's why it's important. Paul even said, speaking about the flesh of his body and the sin nature inside of him, Paul even said, I've got to keep this under in subjection.
Right.
I've got to keep this sinful nature in subjection because he said, lest I fear that I be cast away. I be a castaway. Now, let's turn to John, the 15th chapter, for just a minute. And I'll try to go through this in a timely manner, but in a way that I can hopefully explain it to you and it makes sense. John, the 15th chapter, I want you to listen to a few of the things I'm going to read here. I'm just going to read a couple of verses in verse 5, John, the 15th chapter, verse 5. It says this, I am the vine, this is Jesus, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth. What are we talking about? Being cast away. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now I've heard a lot of preachers, I've heard a lot of people say, if you don't abide in the vine, if you don't stay with Jesus, the Bible proof is there that you will be taken away and you will be cast into hell. That is not true.
Right.
Because I can prove that to you because there's one three-letter word in there that proves to me that it is not talking about eternal hell right here. This is talking about the here and now. What is that three-letter word? It says, this branch is cast forth and is withered and men gather them and throw them into the fire. There is not a man on this earth that will ever throw somebody into eternal hell.
Amen.
But there are men in this life that will throw you in hell on earth.
Amen.
They will ruin your lives. They will make you miserable. And if you don't abide in the vine and you find yourself cast forth from the vine, you will find that it is the world of men that will take you in. They will bring you into their bosom and they will destroy you.
Right.
Now, John, the 15th chapter, is talking about abiding in Jesus Christ so we don't find ourselves in the hands of the men of the world being taken away into darkness. Now, Jesus says, what good is it? What advantage is it if you gain the whole world but you become cast away? This is a picture of someone that has been cast away from the vine, not in eternity. Because he says the Lord will not cast off his people in eternity. And I'm going to prove that to you in a minute. But this is a person here who has been severed from the vine and cast to the side. And men gather them and they destroy them and they ruin their lives. And they do all manner of things to them. Now, what does that look like in real life? Well, you can go to the prodigal son. Think about the prodigal son for a minute. That's in Luke, the 15th chapter. Turn over to Luke, the 15th chapter for just a second. In Luke, the 15th chapter, I want to point this out to you for something you can study further. There is a parable of three things that are lost. Now, typically, when you're out in the religious world and you hear somebody talk about the lost, almost without fail, they are referencing somebody that they consider to be hell-bound, unregenerate, not saved, not born again. If they died right now, they'd go to hell and they say, that person's lost. But you'll find when you read through the Bible, almost every single time, the word lost is referencing somebody that's already born again.
Amen.
The word lost is referencing God's people that have gone aside and gone astray and been cast forth. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells his disciples, to don't go to the way of the Gentiles, or in any city of Samaria enter ye not, but go rather to the lost what? Sheep. The lost sheep. In Matthew, I think it's the 25th chapter, it is the sheep that are gathered on his right side. It is the sheep that he says, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundation of the world. The sheep are the children of God. But Jesus tells his disciples, go to the lost sheep.
Right.
There is no such thing as a sheep that's hellbound.
Right.
Now, we have a parable of three things that are lost. A sheep, a coin, and a son. In no time, in any of these parables, where one of these items is lost, does it ever change its identity? The coin was a coin when it was in the woman's purse. It was a coin when it was lost under the couch or wherever it was lost. The sheep was a sheep when it was by the shepherd. It was a sheep when it was strayed far away from the flock and far away from the shepherd in the wilderness, in the darkness where the wolves lurk around to destroy. Never changed its identity. The son was a son when he stood before his father and he asked for his inheritance. He was a son when he spent all his money on righteous living. He was a son when he was slopping the hogs. He was a son on the journey back. He was a son when his father saw him. He was a son when he was embraced. He never lost his identity.
Amen.
He lost his fellowship with the father.
Right.
The sheep lost fellowship with the shepherd, but they never lost their relationship.
Amen.
You need to understand that. So I want you to think about this son for just a second. This son goes to his father. He says, I want my money. I want it now. The Bible tells us in Luke 15, starting about verse 11 here, that it says, not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. In the whole story from the time he departed to the time he got back, there's one little snapshot in there that I want us to focus on. And that's when he is out, away from his father, spending everything he's got on riotous living, on harlots, on getting drunk and all manner of things like that. That's the snapshot I want you to see. Here's a man that is so far from his father. And he's living in all these things. He's doing all these things that he shouldn't have done. This is a person who finds himself cast away from his father. His father is here. He's a son. He's always been his son. But he finds himself cast away from his father. And he's doing all manner of stuff. And it doesn't appear to bother him very much at all at this particular time. Now, that's somebody that has been cast away. Let me give you a good definition of what it means to be cast away. In Psalms, the 81st chapter, I'm going to flip over there for just a second. Now, I don't want you to miss this because I feel like hopefully I can tie this together for you. In Psalms, the 81st chapter, in verse 10, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And it says this, but my people, who's he talking about? My people. My people, you can connect that with Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people. These are his people. It says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So what did he do? He said, so I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Now, that's a picture of what it means to be cast away. In 2 Chronicles, you can read where the Lord says, verbatim the same thing, he says, my people would not listen to me, so I gave them up to desolation. Do you know what the root word for desolation there is? It means to stun or to numb. Now, I want you to listen to this real close. Hopefully this will make sense. I know a thing or two about numbing folks. I've numbed some of you, all right? Some of y'all have come in, and I have numbed your tooth, okay? Now, a tooth has blood vessels. A tooth has a nerve in it. And if you come in and you lay down in my dental chair, which I would never do this, and I said, I'm going to take this drill and I'm going to drill a hole straight through the middle of your tooth, you would have a jolt of electricity shoot down through your body and you would jump up and you would be running and very motivated to get away from me. Now, that tooth is very much alive. It's just as alive as your finger is. And if I drill down into it, it's going to hurt just like if I drill down into your finger. But I have some medicine that I can put around that tooth, and it is very much alive, but it feels like it's dead.
Right.
And I can drill a hole in it. I can do whatever I want to it, and you'll have no clue that I'm doing anything. There will be no There'll be no shock. There'll be no pain. And you won't be motivated at all to get up and leave. You'll hopefully just lay there. That's going numb. The Lord tells us he gave his people up to what? A numbness.
Yeah.
He gave them up to a numbness. And believe this. You may come in here and hear the preaching of this gospel, and it just sends something down through you, and you just feel the Spirit of God. You may hear the songs that we sing. You may get on your knees and pray. You may get out and open your Bible and study it when you get home, and you feel something when that happens. That's the Spirit of God.
Amen.
But folks, we can get to a point where the Lord says, fine, I'm just going to leave you to your numbness.
That's right.
And you can walk in here and you can hear the best sermon. You can have the best song service. You can get on your knees in prayer. You can open this Bible to scriptures that have brought you to tears before, and you will feel nothing because you have been given up to numbness.
Amen.
That's being cast forth.
Amen.
Folks, when you are spiritually numb, the men of this world are waiting to gather you.
Amen.
Listen to me. They will gather you up and they will destroy you.
Right.
Now, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Jesus warns us time and time again, don't walk out here where the men of the world are. That's darkness.
Right.
Walk over here where you have the light. I've been in the woods before and stayed a little bit too late, and I didn't have a flashlight. And by the time I got home, I'd stepped in every stump hole there was out there and went through every briar patch there was, and I looked like I'd been in a fight with a wildcat because I was in darkness.
Right.
I needed a light. This world is dark.
Amen.
And we need to have a light to walk through. And Jesus says, if you will abide in me,
Amen.
If you will abide in me, I am the light of the world and I will light your path.
Amen.
But if you choose not to abide in me, like the prodigal son chose not to abide with his father, and you get out here, you have been cast away and given up to numbness.
Right.
The worst thing that a child of God could experience in this life is spiritual numbness. Now, let me give you this. For just a few more minutes. Jesus says in Luke, the 9th chapter, what advantage does it have a man to gain the whole world? And let me promise you, especially you young people, the world is there to gain. Whatever your mind can concoct up in it to that is evil, it is available.
That's right.
Whatever you want to gain from this wicked world, it is there for the taking.
Yep.
But if you gain it, you will lose something, and that is the fellowship that you have with that vine. It is there. So Jesus says, you can be cast away. That's in this life. That's in time. That is talking about your well-being here and now. But I want to talk to you about eternity just for a few minutes, because that's what we need to focus on. Because God forbid, there may be a day that one of my children, God forbid, comes to me and says, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I'm tired of hearing what you've been preaching all this time. Whatever, whatever, whatever. And they go out here and they join themselves together with the men of the world, and they may die in the hands of those men. Do you know what I need? I need to understand what it means when it says the Lord will not cast off his people. I need to understand what that means. Paul asked the rhetorical question in Romans 11. Has God cast off his people? He says, God forbid. Now, you say, well, that's just talking about the Jews. Every time he says, my people, my people, my people, you might say he's just talking about the Jews. Let me assure you that he is not. The Bible tells us this. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, but one inwardly. And that circumcision is not of flesh, but it is of the heart, not of the letter, but in the spirit. So the praise does not go to men, but it goes to God. You see, Paul says, a Jew is not a Jew who is one outwardly. A Jew is a Jew who has had the circumcision of the heart, who has had the law of God written in his heart. And he says over in 1 Corinthians, no, in Galatians, he says, if ye are Christ, ye are Abraham's seed.
Amen.
You need to understand that there is a spiritual Jew in every single one of God's people, which Revelations 5:9 tells us, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. He says, I will not cast off my people, and my people are out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And it's not just the Jews outwardly. It's every single child of God who has had that circumcision of the heart.
Amen.
That only can bring praise to God.
Amen.
That's what it says. You cannot praise men when it comes to circumcision of the hearts. And my goodness, don't we do that? Don't we want to shake the preacher's hand and shake the person's hand and thank the evangelist and the missionary and all those people for their efforts in getting people to heaven? Folks, the circumcision of the heart only should ever prompt us to praise God.
Amen.
Now listen, thank you, preacher. Thank you, missionary. Thank you, evangelist. You have saved many marriages, and you've saved many friendships, and you've saved people from depression, and you've saved people from ruining their homes and their lives, and you've saved relationships between parents and children. You saved many people from many things, but you've never saved one from an eternal hell.
Amen.
Ever. The Bible says the circumcision of the heart only should ever prompt praise to God.
Right.
Now, he is talking about my people. He's talking about every single one of those that have had the circumcision of the heart. And Jesus says this. We're talking about being cast away. What does he say in John the 6th chapter? He says, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out."
Amen.
And he says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." He tells his Father as he prays in John the 17th chapter, he says, "You've given me power over all flesh to give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." Jesus Christ calls his people to him just like he called Lazarus out of that tomb.
Right.
Every single one of them will come to him. Every single one of them will be the recipients of eternal life. Every single one of them will be resurrected at the last day to go home to live with him in glory. Now, Romans 8 tells us this. You may say, yeah, okay, I got you. But my child, my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my whatever, has left the church, has left all the things that they know that are true behind. They used to love it. They used to sing the songs. They used to amen the preaching. They used to have all the fruit of the Spirit just pouring out of them. But now they're out there and it's like they're a different person. It's like they're numb to spiritual things.
Yeah.
And you may grieve over that. Well, the Bible tells us, Paul writes this, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither life nor death nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Now, let me give you one more here before I close. In Isaiah, the 49th chapter here, what I'm trying to tell you this morning is this. It is important that we walk in obedience. It is important that we sit down and we read this Bible as it is the inspired Word of God. That we hold on to every word, whether it's one letter or 20 letters. We believe it, we embrace it, we obey it, and we live it. And that's called abiding in the vine. To not do that, you will find yourself cast off in this life and handed over to the men of the world that will gather you and throw you into the fires of this life. But Jesus Christ says, "You're mine. I paid for you. I suffered for you.
Right.
I took the nails for you. I took the crown of thorns for you. I was broken." And as the Bible says, I was broken. My visage was so marred that it was unrecognizable.
Right.
He was beaten like nobody else has ever been beaten. And he suffered the wrath of God. And he drank of the cup of the wrath of God for his people.
Right.
And when time is no more, and he stands before us all, and he starts to gather his people, there will be sheep that he puts on his right hand that may have died lost in the wilderness, but they were still his sheep.
Amen.
And he's going to gather them, and he's going to set them at the right hand. You know, King Saul died a murderer. He murdered himself, but he died a murderer. He took a life that wasn't his to take.
Right.
Solomon tells us in 1 Kings that when Solomon was old, that he turned his heart away from God. He built altars to strange gods, and he died in false worship. But the Bible tells us clearly that both of these men are gathered on the right hand of the Father.
Amen.
Why? Because God will not cast off his people in eternity.
Amen.
It says here, "Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Think about that. A woman. I've seen my wife hold her children. There's nothing she wouldn't have done for them. But you know there are women that will. There's women that'll kill them in the womb. There's women that'll take them and cast them into a garbage can, still kicking and alive. Jesus says, "Can a woman forget her suckling child?" Yes. He says, Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Notice what he says here.
Right.
Behold, I have graven thee in the palm upon the palm of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Now, we don't deal with it as much today, but back then it was a big deal if you were a city to have walls around you. Those walls protected you, they guarded you, and they would set watchmen upon those walls to look out and to see if anything was coming and there was any danger. If they saw somebody coming, they could holler back into the inside and say, "Somebody's coming, prepare for battle." Jesus says, "Listen, let me tell you why you're not going to be cast off from eternity. It's because you're right here. You're always before me. You're always on my mind." And he says, your walls, the thing that protects your salvation, the thing that encases and encloses your salvation, they're always before me. I am the watchman on the walls of your salvation, walking back and forth, looking at the principalities and the powers and all the things that would snatch you out of my hand, but they can't get them because you're engraved in there. Now, you may suffer and die in this life on the streets of some wicked city, laying in your own vomit, in the mess of your own revel and sinful consequences. But when it is all said and done and you close your eyes in death, you are right there.
Amen.
And he'll take you in and he'll set you on the right hand and say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father." Why is that important? Why is that important for us? It's important for us because we stray. We're prone to wander. We're prone to turn our backs on the Lord. We are so prideful down to our most inner being. We're just wicked people sometimes.
Right.
And the tendency is there for us all to look at the Father, to look at the world and say, "I'm going to go this way."
That's right.
And you may turn around and look back at the Father and just not feel anything about it. And you may die in that state. But the Lord has preserved his people in eternity and you will always be one of his. I pray this. That if you're abiding in the vine, praise God. Don't let the things of the world tempt you and draw you closer to them because there's destruction out there. But if you're out there now, or if you know somebody is out there now, you know what the remedy to that is? Repentance.
Amen.
Do you know what the Father, the owner of the coin, and the shepherd of the sheep did when they found what was lost? They rejoiced. And it says, that's what heaven does over one sinner that repents.
Right.
If you're out there, I pray, God, you come back. And if you're not out there, I praise God and encourage you to abide in that vine. Because I have seen what's out there, and it's not pretty.
Amen.
Praise God that he's gotten us graven in the palm of his hands.
Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.